From our Imams, the ninth Imam is the first, whose Imamat began at a very young age, about 8 or 9.
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Ali al-Barra.
Peace be upon you, O Abu Ja'far, Muhammad the son of Ali, the righteous, the pious.
This is Dialogue, a program on the famous conversations of Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I'm your host Mahdi, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Imam Muhammad ibn Ali al-Jawad alayhi salam was the ninth divinely appointed Imam from among the household of the Messenger of Allah. And His Eminence Imam al-Jawad was also the direct descendant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. We find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam economized when it came to spending upon himself. He lived a rather ascetic, simple lifestyle. But His Eminence Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam spent a great abundant amount of wealth on the poor and the needy people amongst the Muslims. And it is precisely because of this unequaled and unparalleled generosity that Imam al-Jawad has been called and titled Al-Jawad, the Generous. This surname was the most particular and famous surname of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, to the extent that he was well known and famous for it amongst the people.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. It's an honor and a blessing to have you with us. You're listening to Dialogue on IRIB English Radio. So, dear friends, we are talking about the dialogues of the ninth divinely appointed Imam, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we find in one of the beautiful dialogues that Imam al-Jawad had with a man from Al-Hira, which is a place in Iraq of the present day. So Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, he had this conversation with this individual, and in this conversation and in this dialogue, they began to speak about the fear of Allah. Now, when we're talking about the Arabic, we find that sometimes taqwa or piety is also translated as the fear of Allah. Now, before we go ahead and talk a little bit about the conversation and the dialogue itself, it's important to note that this fear of Allah is not the fear that one has from, for example, you know, an oppressor or a tyrant, or the fear that someone has because of a potential harm that will come about by a certain individual or an entity. So this is a negative kind of fear, if you will, this fear that one has, you know, from harmful effects or from things that might harm one and one's life. This is not the fear that one has when we talk about the fear of Allah, or when we talk about taqwa, meaning the fear of Allah, even though taqwa has many other meanings as well. Here, the fear can really be described more as a awe or a an amazement, right, of the Almighty Allah. So we don't necessarily fear Allah in the traditional sense of the word. But this fear comes about from realizing the greatness of the Almighty Allah and how small and insignificant we are as compared to the greatness of the Almighty Allah. And on the other hand, when one realizes the beauty and the compassion and the mercy and the greatness, you know, and these different beautiful attributes of the Almighty Allah, then one feels this sense of smallness, this sense of weakness, this sense of awe, and this realization of the absolute majesty of the Almighty Allah. And so this is, in essence, a kind of a positive fear that overwhelms an individual. Now, fear does come into play in another place with its traditional sense, and that is the fear of disobeying the Almighty Allah, the fear of the punishments that the Almighty Allah has ordained for those who disobey him and his commandments. So coming back to Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, in this conversation, he says, I recommend the people of response, the people who are responsible and who are duty-bound, to fear Allah, who has made to whoever fears him a deliverance from his misfortune. And so it's interesting here, you know, we find that Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam in this conversation is telling us how if we want to attain deliverance, prosperity, sa'adat, as it is said in Persian, if we want this deliverance from misfortunes, not only misfortunes in this world, but misfortunes in the hereafter, then we must have this fear of Allah. We must have this awe and this respect and this honor for the Almighty Allah. You know, we must keep ourselves in check. And this fear of the Almighty Allah is such that Allah himself has ordained this fear and this piety, this taqwa, to be a deliverance from misfortunes. And so in this manner, we find that in this dialogue, Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam encourages this man from Al-Hira, as we said was an area in Iraq. He encourages this man and emphasizes the fear of the Almighty Allah. And so we too must try to inculcate this fear of the Almighty Allah, of course, in its positive sense, and make sure that we do fear disobeying the Almighty Allah, and of course, we fear the dissatisfaction of the Almighty Allah. This is Dialogue, Imam al-Jawad. Now let's listen to Brother Muhammad Al-Hilli, who's going to talk about today's topic.
Despite the young age of the ninth holy Imam of the Ahl al-Bayt, Imam Muhammad al-Jawad al-Taqi, alayhi afdal as-salatu was-salam, he rose to excellence and is considered to be one of the individuals that is remembered, honored, and occupies a central position in the remembrance of the family of the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings be upon them. Slave, what kind of animal did he slaughter? And so on. But there are other instances that perhaps history has not necessarily shed more light in the debates and in the extensive knowledge of Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam. Indeed, you and I are told that the Ahl al-Bayt adopted an approach of dialogue whereby they present evidence. I came across an interesting story in the life of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, which demonstrates how all the Ahl al-Bayt would present evidence, but if people are not willing to take it, then they'll tell them, you can follow what you want and I will have my own faith. This Abdullah ibn Umair comes to Imam al-Baqir and says to him, is it true that you say that Zawajul Mut'a is permissible? He says, هكذا كانت سنة رسول الله. This was how the Messenger of God, his teachings was. The man said to him, وَلَكِنْ حَرَّمَهَا عُمَرْ. But Umar made it forbidden. The Imam says to him, but it is clearly established in the Quran, chapter 4, Surah An-Nisa, verse number 24. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala clearly mentions the permissibility of the temporary marriage. The man says, but that is not acceptable since the second Khalifa decided it's haram. Look at the answer of the Imam alayhi salam. Imam al-Baqir says to him, then fa'alayya bisunnati rasulillah wa alayka bisunnati sahibik. You follow who you want. I follow Rasulullah. You want to say to me that fulan on fulan made something not permissible? It is not for me to try and somehow make you convinced if you are what? If you are locked into that particular blind following.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.